This is AWLS, podcasts on wilderness medicine from the University of Utah School of Medicine.
Hi, this is Richard Ingebretson from the University of Utah School of Medicine. Thanks for listening to the AWLS podcast series, Advanced Wilderness Slice of Board. This is a wilderness medicine podcast that helps people who go into the backcountry understand the diseases and the medicine of the backcountry. Wilderness medicine is very broad. It covers everything from sunscreens to muscle pulls and wearing the proper shoes, hypothermia and snake bites. And so our podcast series tries to cover all those and the new developments that happen. And again, we're so thankful that you took the time to come in. We have a common problem that we're seeing a lot. It's not new, but it is a common problem, and that is with the knee. Backcountry sports. The biggest backcountry sports that use the knee, of course, are hiking and cycling, but trekking and climbing are there too. And anything where you actually put extra stress on the knees gets to be a problem. Let's talk about the knee for just a second and why the knee is complex. First of all, you have to think about what the knee is. If you can, in your mind, think of a pedestal that has a basketball sitting on it. It is going to be very, very, very unsteady. It's going to roll off, in fact, and it can roll to the left, to the right, back and forth. The one thing that is not 100% sure and how that compares to the knee is the pedestal would be the tibia and the basketball would be the bottom of the femur. And the femur does rotate on top of the tibia, but it may also rock. Now, you have to think about that for just a minute. If you just spin a basketball on top of the pedestal, it'll just spin there. But if you roll it back and forth, then you can say that instead of spinning, it's rolling. And the knee does kind of both of those. And the combination of all the motion is something almost like more akin to a rocking chair. Now, if you think of a rocking chair, think of the bottom of it where it touches the ground. At one minute, it's touching near the back of the rocking chair, and then as the rocking chair moves forward, and then the front of the rocking chair is touching the ground. So that's a rocking motion. Well, the knee does a spinning and a rolling and a rocking motion, and it gets to be a complex motion. But at any rate, the knee is very, very unstable. So there is a series of ligaments and tendons and muscles that hold it in place. The biggest ones are on either side of the knee, the collateral ligaments. There's one on the inside called the medial collateral. Then there's another big ligament on the outside called the lateral collateral ligament. That's not a big surprise. All joints in the human body have collateral ligaments that hold them together. And the knee has really big, powerful ones. Then in the middle of the knee, there's two other ligaments that prevent the body from moving forward or backwards when the foot is planted on the ground. The one that prevents the foot from going it prevents the body from going forward when the foot is on the ground is called the posterior cruciate ligament, meaning crossing ligament, posterior cruciate ligament. The ligament that prevents the body from falling backwards when the foot is planted on the ground is the anterior cruciate ligament. And so skiing sports, running sports, any injury which causes the body to move forward or backwards will injure those. And other injuries which cause the body to rock back and forth will injure the collateral ligaments. But that is not enough to hold the knee in place. And in fact, there's a lot of other things. There's just a lot of strap muscles that surround the knee. The popliteus muscle in the back, some say popliteus, or the popliteus muscle helps with stabilization of the knee. But the knee has another interesting property, and that is when you're standing on both legs, all of your weight is sort of divided, depending upon whether you're rocking back and forth or standing, in between both knees. But when you walk, all of the weight of the body goes onto a single knee. And every time you stop, the body wants to go forward when the leg stops, putting a lot of stress on the posterior cruciate ligament and the other ligaments and tendons and muscles that are surrounding the knee. And so these things become very, very important. But in stabilizing the knee, it's to help it from its rolling, spinning, and rocking motion that it's trying to do to fall off of that pedestal, the tibia, that it is on. And so there are other things that prevent the knee from going skiddy-wampus, and we could go through and do a whole list of them. But I want to bring up two because they relate to outdoor sports and outdoor medicine. Now, a lot of outdoor sports, when you go, say, maybe trail running, or if you're just going to go on a little light hike, you don't put extra weight on your back. Maybe you do. You put a little bit of water. But if you're going in a backpack and you put a 30-pound backpack on you, you know, 100 kilos on your back or something like that, then you are now, you went from maybe being normal weight to being overweight, maybe even obese, depending upon what you put in your backpack. And so as a consequence to that, you have to realize that one of the big risk factors for injuries in the body is being overweight. And even though you may not be, but when you put a backpack on, then you become obese by definition because you have that extra weight on the knees. The knees don't do well with heavy weight. They never have and they never will. When they get too much weight on it, they wear out and they tend to tear and have injury to them. And so that's what happens when you put weight on your back when you go backpacking or do other sports. The other thing the knees don't do well with is when you stress them, that is to go way down. Squatting puts an inordinate amount of forces on the tendons and ligaments in the knee, which will completely stress them, particularly the patella, which sits on top of the femur. The lower end of the femur is where the patella resides, and that's what gives the knee its strength for jumping and lifting and climbing, because it creates a torque that rotates about an axis which is in the middle of the knee. So squatting down and bending puts an additional torque and additional forces on the knee. So the knee is a great joint. And when you're walking, all the weight goes on one and then all of the weight goes on the other. And when you squat, you increase those forces considerably. And when you stop and when you put forces on the knee. So, and every time you walk, you stop. Every time you move, your leg and foot stops. Even though your body tends to go forward, your leg and your foot stops, and therefore you have all those forces. So a really common problem is this, that there's two things we want to talk about today. And the first one is going to be called the pesanterine, or the pesanteranus, depending upon how you're going to say it, what language, but it stands for the goose's foot. Pes meaning foot, and arenus meaning goose. And so it happens because of the muscles that are that are connected there. All muscles, when they work, they contract. They cannot expand. They relax and will just go back to their original length. But all muscles know how to do is to tighten. And in order to pull a bone, a muscle has to connect to the bone. Muscles don't connect to the bone directly. They connect to a spot on a bone via a tendon. And so anytime you have a connection to a bone, you have to have a tendon. Just about 3 inches below the knee, on the inside of the knee, is a point of attachment of three very important muscles. These are the semitendinosus muscle, the sartorius muscle, and the gracilis muscle. And those three tendons form and attach at that, in the world of medicine, they say the anteromedial aspect of the tibia. What that means is on the inside, just on the inside as it swings around about 3 inches below, there's a spot where they attach. And because of the appearance of them, the ancients, whoever those ancients were, named it the goose's foot or the pesanterine because that's the appearance that it had. These muscles, of course, help in the operation of the lower leg, but their main purpose is also to help to strengthen and to stabilize what is the very unstable knee because of the way we described it, that is a ball on a pedestal. And they do that. Now, what we said was that when you stress a muscle by squatting down and you put more stress on any muscles, then you can inflame it. But and so you can get a disease called the inflammation of a tendon or a tendonitis. The other thing about the attachment of these three muscles at that point is underneath it is a bursa. Now, not all attachments have bursa, but most do. And the pezantrine or pezantrinus has a bursa underneath where the muscle attaches. And that can become inflamed also. So you can get a tendonitis and also a bursitis, or you can get both. And it is true that by putting on a backpack or by squatting down, you will inflame those things. A lot of things can inflame bursa and tendons, but definitely by putting stress on them, by putting on weight, like with a backpack, or by hiking or climbing, and if you do it strike more often, like with running on hills, then you can get a bursitis as well as a tendonitis at the pezantrine point, and you can get quite a bit of pain there. But the thing that probably is one of the greatest risk factors for developing a pezantrinus is the poor mechanical function of the foot. Well, we don't often think of a knee problem being caused by a foot problem, but many of the knee problems, and there are many knee problems, are caused by poor function of the foot. Now, let's just talk about the foot and for just a second. Now, if you think about it, I want you to imagine yourself standing. And if you're not moving, you're not rocking back and forth or forward or backwards, just standing, the vast majority of your weight is on your heel, up to 90-95%, depending on how you're standing. And then when you walk, all of that weight from the entire body has to end up on your big toe to push off. Now, all the toes will help a little, but the vast majority of your weight has to be transferred from your heel to your big toe. And when you push off in walking or running or climbing, it all goes onto your big toe. So that's one thing in backcountry medicine we want to pay close attention to, is making sure that your toes, and in particular your big toe, is protected with good shoes and good arch support. We'll get to that in a second. The weight transfer from the heel to the big toe happens this way. As you move forward, all of your weight is on a single foot, and it comes from the heel and it goes to the outside of the foot on the smaller arch. This is the lateral longitudinal arch, and it compresses. And then as you move forward, it will like a spring, it unloads, and then the transverse arch takes all of that energy, and the foot will then rotate from being on the outside lateral, will rotate inwards, or medially, we call it supination, then goes to pronation, as the medial longitudinal arch, that big arch in your foot, squeezes down, stores energy, and then as you get to the big foot, the big arch unleashes that energy, and it pushes it off. The arches play a huge role in storing energy, and we have to always remember that. But the thing we want to mention here is that we go from the heel to the toe by going outward and then inwards, or supinate and then pronate. And as you go rock our foot forward by putting the weight from our heel to our big toe, we supinate, go outward, and then pronate and go inwards. Problems happen when the arches of the feet do not expand properly, that is, they're flat, and they cause the foot to overpronate. The big medial longitudinal arch, if it is flat, the foot will just immediately overpronate. This is a huge problem, not only for the foot and causing pain and arthritis and in particular getting a plantar fasciitis, but it causes problems for the knee, because as the foot overpronates, that causes the tibia to push outward, and that puts a strain on the pezantrine. So if you have a flat foot, a flat arch, every time you walk, the tibia pushes further outward, causing strain on the pezantrine. So if you get a pezantrine tendonitis, or you get a pezantrine bursitis, or both, one of the first places you need to look is at your feet. And protecting your feet against being flat-footed is absolutely huge. So if you do overpronate, and if you are getting a pezantrine, and that is pain on the inside of the tibia, just about 3 inches below the knee at the Pezant Shrine, then that is probably the problem. Now, other things can cause it, but it's also caused a lot by hikers who stress their knee by, you know, basically you're squatting when you're on a hill because the knee is bent so much. And then if you put a, you know, 20 or 30 pound or, you know, 80 or 100 kilo backpack on your back, and then you start walking up, your foot's going to be flatter, and you're going to squat and push more and stress the Pezant Shrine even more. So we want to call your attention to a Pezant Shrine tendonitis or a Pezant Shrine bursitis, where the cause is could easily be a flat foot and overpronation. This is corrected by proper footwear. Getting, if you are flat-footed, and when you buy a shoe, you absolutely have to make certain that you have the right support in your foot. And you can look at your feet or have the other people look at it or stand and have people see if the inside of the foot, or if it's yours or somebody you're going hiking or running with on a hill, you can look and say, well, you've got flat feet, you need arch support. And if they get a pain in the Pezant Shrine area, it is likely, could easily be due to a flat foot. And the correction is to get proper shoes. Now, what happens with shoes is we wear them out. When we buy shoes, they usually have inserts in the shoe. These inserts are not designed for everybody. And in fact, those inserts may actually harm people. It's not because they're designed that way. It's just that this is a case where you buy a shoe that fits your foot, but we don't always look at the insert to see if that fits the foot. So when you buy a new pair of hiking shoes, running shoes, trail running shoes, shoes that you wear in the backcountry, make sure you're getting the correct arch support. My suggestion as a rule is the inserts that you buy do not fit your feet just because the shoes do. You've got to pull them out and then look at your foot and see if it gives you proper arch support so you do not overpronate. So there are many, many things you can do, and that is you just buy better inserts. My suggestion is not to go cheap on those and buy some that will protect your feet, and that will help you with plantar fasciitis, but will also help with the Pezant Shrine tendonitis or a Pezant Shrine bursitis by keeping your foot from overpronating. So take a look at that. Now, the other thing that happens with overpronation, and one of the leading causes of that, is the iliotibial band, which is a band that starts way up high in the hip, runs down across the hip and then over the knee and inserts on the outside of the knee, but it rubs on the lateral aspect of the lower epicondyle. If you are overpronating, then the tibia rotates or pushes outward, pushing additional stress on that lateral lower epicondyle, pressing it on the iliotibial band. Now, the IT band is there for one main reason, is to help stabilize the very unstable knee. And so then it's no one's fault that the knees are unstable. It's just the way the knees have to work is to have them that way. So the IT band, you can get IT band syndrome up on the hip also, but the main problem that we see in hikers and in backpackers and trail runners and climbers is because they put extra weight or they stress those knees, is if you are overpronating. And so again, if you overpronate, to compensate for that, the tibia just naturally pushes outward in the opposite direction, putting additional strain on the IT band. So when you get, if you do have IT band syndrome and you're a hiker, you have extra weight, you're backpacking, and you have pain on the lateral aspect of the knee, the Pezant Shrine, remember, is on the lower inside of the knee, below the knee. The iliotibial band is just above the knee on the outside on that lower lateral epicondyle, that big bump down there. You'll know it if you have it, because or people with you have it, or if you're a clinician and your patients have it, and you just touch there. Now, the issue is prevention, and the way to prevent iliotibial band and a Pezant Shrine tendinopathy or bursitis is to quit overpronating. So before you start getting injections and you start putting bands and things on that to see if you can help it, look at the feet. And if the feet are flat, particularly that medial longitudinal arch, then that is where you start to treat this, is getting proper arch support and getting the inserts out of your shoe that it came with, and not assuming that since the shoe fits, that the arch support fits. You may need to spend a little extra money and getting better arch support for yourself, your family, your friends, or your patients, whoever you're treating for this. So the treatment for a Pezant Serine tendonitis or bursitis and the treatment for iliotibial band syndrome is prevention. And that is start down where it matters the most, and that is with getting good arch support in our feet and making sure that we're not overpronating. Now, if you're on the trail and you're having a hard time walking because you have a Pezant Serine pain or you have pain over the lower lateral epicondyle, that bump on the outside of the femur, then there are things you can do. This is one of the cases where we tell you to put ice on it because ice in the backcountry gets rid of pain. We don't like ice for healing and because it constricts blood vessels, but it can get rid of pain and get you out of the backcountry. The other thing you can do on that is, of course, Tylenol, paracetamol, or ibuprofen or naproxen. Those kinds of anti-inflammatories will do a good job and get you out. I've seen people, and have actually heard people and seen people walk backwards down a mountain can help alleviate the pain because they don't stress their knees so much. And I've seen people try and change their shoes and so that they don't overpronate. Also, any of those things will help you to get out of the backcountry. The treatment in the front country when you get home, there's a number of things you can do for a iliotibial band syndrome and for the Pezant Serine issue, and that is sometimes they can put steroids in there with injection. Although that has proven not to be as successful, sometimes they can use ultrasound, and there was an NIH study that looked at low-frequency lasers as opposed to ultrasound that was very effective also in treating it. Behavior modification is important in treatment, but the main thing is to make sure you're looking at your foot, that you're not overpronating it. And you may be at a point where hikers that are going up steep hills and they're bending their knees, or runners that are running on hills, or climbers, that may be put on hold until this problem kind of resolves itself. Behavior modification. An IT band and a Pezant Serine problem, tendinopathy or bursitis, will generally resolve on their own with rest. You can then, in the backcountry, you can put ice for pain, but in the front country, you want to put heat on those things, walk on them and move them, and then move into the sport that you're doing and, you know, move to the pain and then pull back as they become painful. But in backcountry medicine and in this kind of a situation, remember, before you go out hiking, climbing, trail running, and those sports particularly. Of course, basketball has to be put in there. That's not a wilderness topic, but basketball players who jump stress the knees, and if they're overpronating when they do, they will get a Pezant Serine problem or an iliotibial band problem. But before you go out, there's a lot of things you should do. You know, some of the things we can talk about, trim your toenails and other things, but on this case, make sure the people that are going with you, the people who you are medically responsible for, have proper arch support in their shoes. And in most cases, that will prevent a Pezant Serine tendinopathy or bursitis and an iliotibial band problem. And that's probably the best thing that you can do is to prevent these kinds of things. Well, this ends this podcast on these two particular problems that come as a result of overpronation of our foot, but are found on the medial lower aspect of the knee and just above the knee on the lateral aspect. And as always, we say thank you for listening.